rejected and alone, like a rose trampled on the ground. You took the fall and thought of me above.
Oh,
Hiding. wherever I need you to be. You are the I am, you are. You're whoever I need you to be. You are the I am, you are. Yeah. You're whoever I need you to be. You are the I am. And he is jealous for me. He loves like a hurricane. I am a tree bending beneath the waves, his wind and mercy. When all of a sudden I am unaware of these afflictions eclipse my glory, and I realize just how beautiful you are and how great your affections are for me. And oh, how he loves us. Oh, oh, how he loves us. How he loves us. Oh, and he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves. And he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves. And he loves us. Oh, are for me. And oh.
place we were waiting, without hope, without light, till from heaven you came running. There was mercy in your eyes to fulfill the law and prophets. To a virgin came the word, from a throne of endless glory to a cradle in the dirt.
Praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit, He is one. God of glory, majesty, to the other side, knowing this was your salvation, Jesus, for the sake you died. Till that stone was moved for good, and the Lamb had conquered death, and the dead rose from their tombs, and the angels stood in the way for the souls of all who come to the Father are restored.
The flames, and this gospel truth and old shall not kneel, shall not faint. And by His blood and in His name, in His freedom I am free. For the love of Jesus Christ, who has resurrected me.
Bye.
You are my shepherd, no need to worry. And when I'm thirsty, you're there to lead me through the valley. Your hand will guide me, and you restore me when I'm weary. Prepare a table for me that my enemy sees. You've anointed me, now I'm overflowing. You've been true to your word, you won't lead me astray. So I'll stand and say, to worry. And when I'm thirsty, you're there to lead me through the valley. Your hand will guide me, and you restore me when I'm weary. Prepare a table for me that my enemy sees. You've anointed me, now I'm overflowing. You've been true to your word, you won't lead me astray. So I'll stand and say, thank you.
Amen. Can we bless the Lord for our children? Seriously. Never get tired, amen, of hearing and worshiping with our children, amen, because they ain't like us. Amen. They got that pure, unadulterated, what they say is true, amen. Amen. They ain't worried about singing and doing stuff so that the pastor or somebody else can see them, right? Right, or so that somebody can validate them, amen. It says, out of the mouths of babes, amen, it comes forth, amen, perfect praise, amen. We thank God for our young people. One more time, let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. For our young people, amen. Amen. Just thanking God for them. Amen. Thanking God for all of you. Amen. To Minister Tolbert, amen. And to Deacon Wright and all the deacons, everybody in the building, amen. I thank God for my wife, amen. Amen. And my mother and my children and just everybody. We greet you in the joy of Jesus Christ. And I thank God for Pastor Wright. And I thank God for the opportunity that he can have every once and again. Amen. Just to get away. Even though they're not really away. Man, they had to take Caleb to school. And he said he didn't mind me telling it. Amen. What he did say is pray for his mother. Pray for Sister Kizzy. Amen. Amen. As they get Caleb squared away. Amen. In school, amen, and we thank God because we had opportunity even last night to spend some time with our young adults, amen, and celebrate all of our young adults, but particularly celebrate those who are college bound. And I want to let you know, community, we're blessed, man, and our young people are blessed, and it's all because of Jesus. It really is, and we thank God for Brother Justin and Sister Jameson, amen. All those who are leading our young adults, amen. I'm thanking God for yesterday and the women's breakfast, amen. And those who spoke, amen, including Sister Betty and Sister Ree and Sister Dez, amen, and Sister Brenda and Evangelist Claudia, who wrapped it all up. I was not able to be there. We were at a memorial service yesterday for Pastor Evan's grandson. But I heard that the breakfast was such a blessing, and we thank God for that breakfast, and we thank God for praying through the scriptures, in particular Genesis. Amen. So just thanking God for all of those things. One other thing he asked me to remind our men and the entire church about is this Tuesday, we're going to be in Bloomsdale for our street ministry. And ask those who can be a part to please come be a part, because if you've not been in our communities everywhere, man, around this world, you know that, man, our communities need the preaching and the sharing of the gospel of Jesus Christ. In the playground area right there off of Fleet Wing Drive, amen. Amen. So if you can be with there, please be there. If you can't be there, be in prayer. Amen. Y'all already looking at me funny. Amen. 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 So we just thank God. And not going to belabor the moment. If you have your Bibles. Oh, no, 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 no. Man, I don't even know if y'all saw him back there. But Brother Tyree. Amen. The song they did for the offering, he was the one playing the bass. Amen. So guess what? Man, the Lord has blessed us. Amen. We have these young people that the Lord is raising up. Amen. To bless us. And we just, Brother Tyree, we want you to continue to be encouraged. Amen. Amen. We love you. We thank God for you. We thank God for Sister Amber. Amen. Who is leading our children. Amen. This morning. Amen. So that's it. That's it. We got all the formalities out of the way. Amen. We're going to go into the Word of God. If you have your Bibles, ask that you turn with us. Turn with us to the book of John, chapter 14. Amen. It's what we've been dealing with in Bible study all week, this month, and we'll continue to deal with this in Bible study. And I thought I was going to deal with something else. Man, but the Lord would not have it that way. We thank God for just the omniscience of his word. Amen. So, John 14, starting in verse 1. Man, where Jesus is speaking to his disciples, and he's speaking to us, even still today. It says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me." It says, "In my Father's house are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know." And Thomas said unto him, "Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know?" Somebody say, "the way." Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." He says, "No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Amen. If we were to choose a topic for this text, we just want to talk briefly, prayerfully, it'll be briefly this morning, about the all-sufficient person of Christ Jesus. The all-sufficient person of Jesus Christ. The way, the truth, and the life. Personified. The way, the truth, and the life. Personified. Let's look to the Lord. Gracious and eternal God, our Father, we thank you this morning. God, we honor and we reverence you, O God, because you are great and greatly to be praised. There is none like you. You are the Most High God. You're holy, O God, and you're sovereign. God, you're perfect in every single one of your ways, O God. You are omnipotent and omniscient, and you're omnipresent, O God. You are everything that we'll ever need and more. You declared it even in your word, even when you said, "Now unto him who is able to do exceeding and abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think, according to this fellowship, according to the very life of Jesus Christ himself living on the inside of us, oh God, it's because of you." And we thank you for this privilege. We thank you for this honor. No greater honor bestowed upon anybody, oh God. And we heard it even from Minister Tober, than to be loved by you, than to have fellowship with you. Nothing else matters. And we thank you for this privilege. So help us right now. Help us by the very aid of your Spirit to know, oh God, not conceptually, not just in our minds, but in our hearts, oh God, to know all that we have, even in you, oh God. We pray right now that your Spirit reveal your heart to us, oh God, the very desperate nature of your love for us and your desire to have fellowship with us, oh God. Have your way right now. Crucify my flesh, how I feel, what I think, oh God. Let that get lost in you, oh God, that you might be magnified and manifest in this place, that your word might be engrafted in our hearts, oh God. Conform us to the likeness of your Son. Heavenly Father, that more than anything that we do or say, the very reflection of your life in us, O God, and through us might bring you glory. We thank you, O God. We praise you and we bless your name right now. And we ask all these things in the mighty and the matchless name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And by virtue of the shed blood on Calvary's cross, our hearts and souls says, amen. 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 The all-sufficient person of Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, and the life personified. Amen. Amen. We thank God. We thank God. It's funny because not so much during the day, but if you turn on your television in the middle of the night, right, and you can't sleep, man, what we see, we're in this age of the infomercial, right? You ever turn on your TV at night? Man, and see these infomercials on, they selling this and they selling that, right? And there's always this thing that they're trying to sell, right? And it's always the solution. It's always the answer. It's going to make your life easier. It's going to bring an added quality to your life, right? This machine or this pill or this method that's going to help us lose weight, right? This cream that's going to make us look younger. This pot or this pan that's going to make our food look and taste just like the food in the restaurant, right? And in most cases, what we end up with is a drawer full of, a cabinet full of, a shed full of, right? A garage full of, right? Stuff that promised to fulfill us, that promised to make our life better, that promised to make our life easier, right? But couldn't fulfill the promise that it made. Amen. Amen. And it's crazy. It's crazy. It's crazy. And the reason why it is, the reason why this is the case is because we live in a capitalist society and people are making billions, even more than billions, really, to be honest with you, making billions of dollars made off of the human condition, made off of this innate need that we have on the inside for fulfillment. And that's why we gravitate to this stuff. That's why when we see this stuff, it don't matter. Man, 10 things. We could have purchased 10 things before that. But it never ends. This one thing that we see, man, that's the answer. That's going to make it all better. That's going to make it all easier. So what do? There you go. We, man, up on these phones and on these computers, and it's the first thing we do. We go ahead and we get it, no matter how many times we've been disappointed. You know why? Because it's just what we said. There's this thing in us. There's this thing in us that desires, and it's crying out to be satisfied. And the reason why we keep on repeating that same action over and over and over again, because we've not recognized and identified what that thing really is and what the thing is that will sufficiently meet the need of that desire. And so, and Christ told us, right? He told us. He told us in his word when he said, he gave us the answer. When he said, when he talked about when Christ created us, right? And the Bible says that he breathed the breath of life in us. And he said that man became a temporary soul. Oh, I just want to make sure y'all are still paying attention. Man became an eternal soul. We became an eternal soul. A soul. Even though it's wrapped in flesh, there's something on the inside of us that desires eternal satisfaction and fulfillment. What happens is the world has put so many things around us to make us think that it has the answer to what it is that we need, that we've lost touch with the fact that the only thing that can really and utterly and truly satisfy us is Jesus Christ himself. And that's the thing. That's the fundamental issue. An eternal soul can't be satisfied by temporary things. So why do we continue to try and fulfill it with temporary things? Amen. When Christ, right here in our text, is giving us the answer to our fulfillment. It's him. He's the all-sufficient God. He's the only one. He is Christ. Christ is our fulfillment. He is fulfillment personified. And we're going to talk about what that means. He tells us, he says, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. Letting us know that it's in me. It's me. It's me. I am the one who can meet your needs. I am the one. He is the way. He is the truth, and he is the life personified. So what do you mean when you say he is all these things personified, right? Something personified represents a quality or a concept or a virtue, right? By a figure of human form. It means you see that thing that you might have a notion of or a concept of, it means that thing is manifest right before you. Right? You ever saw something beautiful, something that you saw beautiful, whether it had been a flower or a man or a woman, and you said, that's beauty personified. It means that very thing has been manifest before you. You had a sense or a notion of what you thought that thing looked like or what that thing was, but you really didn't know what it was until it was right there before your eyes. And that's what Christ is telling us. That's what he's letting us know in his word. When he says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, he's letting us know, I am the sum total of all fulfillment standing right before you. I'm everything that you need personified, right? And that's the thing. And so in the context of our text, right, he's comforting, and he's securing, and he's assuring the disciples, because he just let them know. He said, I'm getting ready to go away. Right? And Peter got upset, like Peter does. He responds emotionally, just like we do all the time, right? And he says, what you talking about, Jesus? You can't go, no, you can't. I'm not going to let it happen. I will lay down my life. He said, man, you can't go where I'm going. You can't go where I'm going. And so all of the disciples in that setting, they got upset because they had walked with Christ. They had seen him. They knew him. He had explained to them that he was the one that was going to fulfill the very covenant promises of the word. But now you're telling me you're going to leave me? But see, later on in that whole thing, whether chapter 13, chapter 14, chapter 15, chapter 16, was all the discourse of him assuring and securing. He was teaching them, because now that he was letting them know what the plan was and that he had to go, he had to equip them for what they were going to face. And that's why he says later on in chapter 16, I believe, he said, it is expedient that I go away. Why? Because if I don't go away, the comforter won't come. All these things that I've taught you, the demonstration of the miracles and all these things that I've done before you and the lessons, in order for those things to be made manifest in your life, I've got to come in the form of the Spirit of Christ, that I may truly equip you, because outside of fellowship with me, you're incapable of doing anything. That wasn't just for the disciples, y'all. That's for us too. Outside of our agreement with the truth of the gospel being implanted in us and validated through commune with the Spirit of Christ living on the inside of us, we are helpless and hopeless to do anything in our own strength and in our own accord. That's why he said, it's expedient, y'all. I must go. Because if I don't come, there will be no dispensation. And my purpose for you will not be fulfilled, because my purpose is that we might have fellowship. And it's the very Spirit of Christ that brings us to that place. And without the Spirit, without the life of Christ living on the inside of us, guess what, y'all? There is no fulfillment. And that's why he let them know, I am the way. I am the truth. I'm your everything. There's nothing outside of me that can satisfy you, is what he's letting them know. So we look here in this John 14. Guess what? This ain't, but listen, we might be another 15 minutes. We'll be done. Somebody said, yeah, right. But I'm not, look. Let me be quiet, right? So he says, I am the way. I am the truth and I am the life. No man can come unto the Father except by me, right? And it's more than him just charting out a path to God, but it's him charting a path and a course for our fulfillment. He's letting us know. But the key here, listen, the key to this whole thing is in the first two words of that statement. And I thank God for Minister Tober. He was preaching a sermon. He don't even realize it. When he said, I am. That's his declaration. I am. He was letting us know the fulfillment of God is in me. It's personified in my life, is what he's letting them know. It's in him. He says, I am. He's personalized it. In other words, all sufficiency is in Jesus Christ. And here's the thing, and we got to know it, even in the church, because we see it played out otherwise so many times, but we've got to get in alignment, in agreement with the word of God and what he's saying. We've got to understand this right here. He's not offering us a way outside of himself. He's letting us know that it's in me. It's not in other things, but it's in me. And what happens is, oftentimes, we come to Christ looking for something. We come to Christ looking for a thing. Y'all know what I'm talking about? We come to him looking for a method or a way or a tool or a formula or a plan to meet our needs and to fulfill us. Listen, God's plan and purpose in all of eternity for fulfilling us is only found in one and one only, and that's Jesus Christ. But what we want to do is we want to keep Christ as an appendix, right? And when it's time to get our needs met, instead of asking for him, we ask for things. And we wonder why we don't get that thing. No, he'll give us that thing to show us that it's more than you having that thing. But it really is in me and in no other place. If you need something in your life, stop asking Christ for a thing because you're cheating yourself. And what we need to be doing is asking Christ for him. Because it's him. That's what he's letting us know, y'all. That's what he's letting us know. It's always, Christ has always been God's plan for fulfilling us. You don't believe me? Read Genesis chapter 3. That's what he taught us in the garden. He showed us. He said, listen, you will never get your needs met by stuff. Gave them everything that they thought they could ever need. And told them, don't touch this one thing. And what'd they do? Why? Because if they were satisfied, they wouldn't have touched it. But see, don't blame them. It's because some of y'all are still mad at Adam and Eve. Some of y'all mad at them, seriously. Man, if it wasn't for them, we'd be living in Eden right now. Everything would be perfect. If that was me, you would have did the same thing. You know why? Because it was always God's plan. There was never a doubt in God's mind that he wasn't going to satisfy us by way of Jesus Christ. So stop looking for Eden. Eden ain't going to do it. Guess what? We living in a carnal Eden, because guess what? Anything you want? Seriously. Anything you want, all you got to do is type it up in your phone And you ain't even got to have no money. They got this thing called credit. And you can get it. They will give you anything. They will. They will give you anything on credit. And we don't even realize we send ourselves into further bondage. Because we're trying to find satisfaction in things that can't satisfy us. And that's what the garden told us. Fulfillment is, listen, write this down. Because I really don't have points. So you can write some of these things down, right? Fulfillment is relational. It's not material. You ain't going to never. We talk about it all the time, and I know y'all get tired of hearing, but y'all know we gonna break the record up in here. You will never be satisfied by things that break, depreciate, run off, run out, and die. You can't. It's impossible. Only Jesus Christ. And that's the thing. He's letting us know is that in order to know the way, when he says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. He's letting us know, in order to know the way, in order to know the truth, in order to know life, or in order to have fulfillment, you must know the I am. It's relational. You must know the I am. That's why he says, I am the way. I am. He didn't say, let me show you a way. He didn't say, let me demonstrate the way. He said, I am. So in order for us to know the way, in order for us to know the truth, in order for us to know the life, we've got to get to know the I am. That's it. We've got to have relationship. That's why he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Because the pursuit for fulfillment is in our pursuit for the I am. We must know him. That's why God replied. Why do you think God replied to Moses the way he replied to Moses? When he was sending Moses out to the people. And Moses was he was messed up. Because he knew in himself he wasn't sufficient to do what God was calling him to do. And so he said, who shall I say that sent me? And what God said, he said, tell them. He said, tell them that I am. And he said, who is I am? Because, you know, that's the natural question. Every time you read that, you're like, who is the I am? Man, and the Lord is like, I'm glad you asked. Let me show you. Let me show you. Come find out. He's inviting us. You can't read through this word and not see the very invitation to come and get to know the very I am. We just got to take him up on his offering. He says, come unto me, all your burden and heavy laden. And who? I, the great I am, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I'm meek and lowly at heart, and you shall find rest for your weary soul. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Man, because the answers are in growing. In the knowledge of who Christ Jesus is. It's about us growing in the knowledge of the I am. Our fulfillment is relational. It's not material. Turn off your phones. Delete. What is it? Prime? What is it? Amazon. Thank you. Y'all know I need some help. Delete it from your phones. Because guess what? Whatever they tell you is going to do, it ain't going to do it. Only Jesus. Only Jesus. He is fulfillment. That's what he's letting us know. He's fulfillment personified. We've got to get to know the I am. That's why Paul says that without faith, what? It is impossible to please him. And here's the thing. And we often overlook it and we misquote it. He says, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, comma. In other words, dramatic pause. See, what we do is we quote it, "For he that cometh to God must believe that he is a rewarder." That's how we quote it. But we're missing the whole point and the principle of what God is saying. That's not what he's saying. He says, "For he that comes to God must first believe that he is." Believe that he is what? Believe that he is the I am. Believe that he is the way, the truth, and the life. Now we're positioned to get something from him. Why? Because now that I know who the I am is, now I'm now in position to pursue him. That's why he goes on to say, and that he is a rewarder of them that do what? Diligently seek who? The I am. We got to know who the I am is. Because if we don't know who the I am is, we'll never be fulfilled. Because he is fulfilled. Listen, y'all, I love that woman right there. You can't tell me nothing about her. But guess what? She can't fulfill me. And neither me her. It must be Christ. And that's why so many marriages are failing today. Because we're so busy looking at one another instead of looking at Jesus. But when my eyes are on Jesus, and when her eyes are on Jesus, when I fall short, I won't disappoint her. And I won't walk out, or she won't walk out. Because she knows that her fulfillment is not in me. But it's in Christ. Listen, if we're going to be satisfied, we got to get to know. We got to get to know this I am. We got to get to know the I am. For what purpose, church? That we might know true fulfillment by way of fellowship. Because that's where it is. That's his purpose. His purpose for us is fellowship. His purpose for us is that we might know him intimately. Because the closer we get, the more satisfied we get. That longing, when he says in the book of Ecclesiastes that God has placed eternity in our hearts, that's the longing for him. And if we don't make him our focus for fulfilling that longing, what's going to happen is we will continually be disappointed by this world. You know why? Because this world writes checks that it can't cash. All the time. But we buy it hook, line, and sinker. We do. And we got to know. We've got to know the I am. He's personalized our fulfillment. That's what he's saying. When he says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life," he's letting us know that, listen, I am the way, truth, life personified. It's in me. You ain't got to look nowhere else. He's letting us know. He wants us to know the personalized Christ. What does that mean? This is what we've been dealing with in Bible study. All right? And we don't got time to go deep into it. So what do you think I'm about to recommend? Come to Bible study on Wednesday. If you ain't in Bible study, come to Bible study. Right? The personalized Christ is the very revelation of the person of Christ. Listen, that's how we experience the glory of God. All that God has promised through fellowship with his son is fulfilled. It's fulfilled in our intimate pursuit and fellowship with Jesus Christ. It's in him. It's in him. And that's why, listen, it's revealed to him. And that's why John tells us, in John 1 and 14, what does he say? He said, "And the word became flesh." And what did it do, y'all? "It dwelled among us, and we beheld his glory." He gave us the image of fulfillment in Christ Jesus. Walking and talking, and he invited us to fellowship. God gave us Christ so that we might know, that we might understand, and that we might experience God through the lens of intimate fellowship with his son. Jesus Christ. That's the goal, y'all. That's why Paul said in Colossians chapter 1, verse 27, Christ in you, the hope or the assurance of glory, the glory of God. The blessings of Christ are not a notion, y'all. They're not a concept. They're not something that you can't touch. But it's all revealed through intimate fellowship with Christ Jesus. The love, the grace, the peace, the validation, the affirmation, the security. They're all revealed in Christ. But here's the thing. All revealed and fulfilled through Jesus Christ. Which means otherwise, outside of Jesus Christ, we'll never find it. See, that's the thing. That's why we can't have one of these part-time relationships with him. One minute we in the world and the next minute we in him. Well, you know, some of us, we only want him when we need something or when we in trouble. No, that's not his desire. His desire is that we commune with him. Because that's what, listen, and that's, you can't get around it, because that's what salvation is all about. It's about eternal fellowship. Eternal. The minute you confess Jesus Christ, you started on and you embarked on this eternal fellowship with him. Now, guess what? He's now going to pull out all the stops to make sure that his will is fulfilled. Even, this is what we were dealing with in Sunday school this morning. Even if he's got to chastise you to do it. He's going to get you back lined up. That's why Paul sent Timothy. Y'all was in Sunday school this morning, right? That's why he sent Timothy. After he got done dealing with them, he said, have it your way, whatever way you want it. I can come as a rod or I can come in love. But I'm going to send Timothy before me so you can get this thing right and get this thing back lined up. Because my goal and what I want is for you is for me to come and that we have fellowship, that we might reason with one another and agree. So I'm going to send Timothy, but if you don't get it, I'm going to have to come with the rod. And that's how God deals with us. His desire is fellowship. His desire is for us to have agreement. That's why he said he works all things after the counsel of your own will. No, after the counsel of his own will. Meaning he's going to have his way if he got to hold us over fire. Upside down. To get us there. He's going to get us there. Because this is his... Listen. This is, listen, he didn't send his son Jesus Christ to go to the cross for us so that we can walk around struggling. He said, I come that you might have life and that you might have life more abundantly. It's all revealed in Jesus Christ. All that, every single bit of it. And that's the thing. We talked about fulfillment and validation and security and all those things. And that's the thing. We don't know what these things truly are until we found Christ. You won't. Listen, I'm talking about church folk. Right? I'm not just talking about the world. Some of us don't have a clue of what this is because we've not pursued him. We're looking for a method or a thing or a formula. You want me to tell you the way. Listen, I can't tell you the way other than Jesus Christ. All this preaching, all this teaching, all this stuff, it's for one purpose. Listen, I can't edify you. Pastor Wright, Minister Tolbert, they can't edify you. All of this is an introduction. So that you might pursue Christ and come into contact with him. Outside of that, you ain't never going to get it. And listen, and that's why we got to be careful about the spirit of religion. Seriously. You think you can say because you come to church? No, you're not. All this, everything we do, if it does not culminate in you touching Christ, in you coming into fellowship with Christ, guess what, y'all? We're spinning our wheels. That's it. Seriously. Because it's all for the purpose of knowing Jesus. It's all for the purpose. And we won't know outside of him until we come into intimate fellowship with him. We'll believe everything the world is selling us. We will. And that's the thing. That was the whole trick. Before we came to Christ, that was the whole plan. Born in sin. Shaped in iniquity. Shaped in what the world is telling us. We didn't know the truth. And won't know the truth until we come into agreement with God about what he says, even in the church. We've got to come to a place where it all culminates, y'all, where it all culminates in knowing Jesus Christ. And that's the thing. So what do? We go out because we've not touched Christ. Because we've not come into intimate fellowship with Christ. What do? We go out and we invest everything we got. Everything financially. Everything emotionally. Everything spiritually in this world. And many of us are spiritually, emotionally, and physically, and financially bankrupt. And we don't know why. Because we got religion. I'm in church every Sunday. I'm on an auxiliary. I'm serving on this. I'm doing this. I'm doing all those things. If those things don't culminate in your fellowship, they're all for nothing. Seriously. And that's what Pastor Wright, when he talks about church on the surface, we got to stop having church on the surface. It's not just about the music and the shouting and the clapping and all that. That's not just church on the surface. Even our service. It's on the surface. If it's not resulting in our fellowship and for the purpose of fellowship, we've missed the whole premise and purpose. I know it's not popular. And I know that we don't like to hear it, but I'm telling you right now, his word is true. Many will come to him on that day and say, we did all this stuff in your name. We preached, taught, we served. We did all this stuff in your name. And he's going to declare to many, depart from me. You work of iniquity. Why? I never knew you. You never knew me. You never took the time to cultivate an intimate and personal relationship with me. Therefore, I don't know you. Listen, that's one of my biggest fears. I am not going to get before him after doing all this churching all my life. Because we say it all the time, y'all. Y'all know we can do church in our sleep. And man, we better be. And I'm telling you, I don't care. Because this stuff is real. How long we've been in the church. You better know. You better know that you know this God. You better know. You better know you heard it here. You hear it here every single Sunday from this pulpit. You better know, because the spirit of religion is not going to get you there. It's not going to get us there. It's not a game. He did not send his son to be whipped and maimed and shamed for us to come in church and be religious. He did it that we might have a relationship. That's his purpose, church. Don't cheat him out of what he wants. This is what he desires. Man, and that's the thing. We can't run around trying to get our needs met by the world. Just all kinds of bankrupt. And we got the nerve to put all this stuff on social media like we living our best life. Living a dream on social media, but living a nightmare in your home. It's a mess. It's got us messed up. Why not just try Jesus? Seriously. Stop glorifying things that break, depreciate, run off, and die. And just go ahead and cut to the chase and get intimate with our Savior. He can glorify you and beautify you way better than Facebook can. He's letting us know. So what has he done? He's personalized himself. He's letting us know. And that's the thing. He's made all things living through Jesus Christ. And we ain't going to go there today, but we will come to Bible study. Please come to Bible study. You know what that means? All things living through Christ. And we looked at this Colossians chapter 1, right? How Christ, the Bible says that all things were made by him. And all things were made for him. And all things were made of Jesus Christ. He's the totality of all of these things. He's personalized it so that he might be our living way. All things are made alive by Jesus Christ. Therefore, anything outside of Christ is dead. Amen. And so when he says, I am the way, he's letting us know, I'm the living way. Any other way outside of me is a dead end. When he says, I am the life, I am the truth, he's letting us know that my word is the living truth. Everything outside of my word is a false or dead doctrine. And he's letting us know that I am the life. I'm the only one. I'm life. I'm living. Everything and everybody outside of me is a dead or a dead man or a dead woman walking. We've got to line up. We got to stop playing. We got to stop going through the motions. Man, and we got to get tunnel vision. We got to get tunnel vision for this Christ. We've got to know it. In our hearts, not here. In here. He says, it's with the heart. Man believes unto righteousness. Meaning positionally, experientially, right? We've got to become, he's got to become our living experience. And that's the thing. And guess what, y'all? We're done. When he says, I am the way, he's letting us know that I am the living way. I am the living truth. And I am the life. No man not only comes to the Father, but what he's saying is no man is fulfilled absent of me. Because it's this fellowship with me and my Father. That's the only thing. Why? Because that's what you were made for. That's your purpose. No other reason. You got one purpose. And one purpose only. And that's Jesus Christ. Is he your sufficiency? Or is your job your sufficiency? Is he your fulfillment? Or is your money or your stuff your fulfillment? Jesus Christ, who never fails, who never ends, who is eternally faithful. Your job, your house, your money, your car. One is eternal. One is temporal. It's Jesus. It's Jesus Christ all by himself. Do you know him that way as we stand? As we stand. Listen. Yesterday, me and my wife and some other members of my family, we attended a memorial service for a 26-year-old young man. Had his whole life ahead of him. Perfect health. Got his degree. Just bought a house. Met the woman he wanted to spend the rest of his life with. Had a baby. Here on a Sunday, going on a Monday. And what we do is we look at these things and we think that's fulfillment. And then it's all gone. And what we want to do is we want to use Christ as a thing to help us get fulfilled in this world. There is no fulfillment in a fallen world. Don't matter what you get. Don't matter what you buy. Don't matter the means that you have to buy it. All is vanity and vexation of the spirit. Only Jesus. In church, if we don't get it in here, we won't get it nowhere. We've got to get our hearts fixed and focused on Jesus Christ. It's not about a membership. It's not about all this other stuff. In the end, it's going to come down to you and him. And if you don't know Jesus Christ, and he is not the very object of your affection and your heart's desire, guess what? You need to come. You need to come. Because you ain't going to get, you're not going to find fulfillment anywhere else. It's only in him. So if there's one here today that you don't know Jesus Christ, or you want to get to know Jesus Christ as your living way, your living truth in your life, we ask you to come today. There may be one here, you know him, you confessed him, but you're in a position of broken fellowship. Guess what? That's the beauty of this Christ. He's all sufficient, not just to save us, but to restore and to redeem us. And guess what, y'all? He's faithful to do it. He said, I'll cast your sins as far as the east. Who in the world would do that for you and me? As far as the east is from the west. But yet we want to look for validation in people who will judge us and throw us away the first time we don't meet their expectation. Thank God for the love of Jesus Christ. Never throw us away. He wants you to know him that way. If you desire prayer, we ask that you come to the altar. Come to the altar. Walk in the light. Beauty for light. Come where the dew drops of mercy. Shine bright, shine all around us, by day and by night. Jesus, the light of, he's the light, church. Light of the world. Can we say that together? It's a little bit different than how we used to sing it. Walk in the light. Beautiful light. Yeah.
the light of.
He's the light.
He's the light of the world.